Well, it's time to move on, because now you can start changing those SMS commentaries to SMS birth dates, because it's that very exciting time on a Friday morning when our self-esteem engineer, Bev Maloon, enters the studio wearing red. And I am too, Bev.
I got the memo.
I'm so pleased. And clearly, and Lee also got the memo.
She got the memo, no question.
That's quite weird. We're all wearing red except for Thabo. He's wearing purple today.
What is up with that, Mr. T?
What happened?
He's being an individual.
But you know, he is.
Good for you.
And you know,
Mr.
he
T.
doesn't read his emails.
That's why you'd never know you're supposed to wear red this morning.
Good morning, Bev.
Good morning, Nikki.
How are you, darling?
Fantastic. How are you?
Very, very good.
Excellent.
Very good. So you can start sending through your birth dates to 34519. Bev Maloon is in the studio. She's going to look at your numbers. We're going to talk interesting things. I love it when we go off on tangents, because it's never that we can't find our way back. It's an exploration and we gather gifts and we gather wonderful, wonderful, exciting little packages, precious gifts, and we can use them or not use them. It really depends entirely on the individual. You all record. Bev, people can go to your website if they want to listen to shows as well.
Yes, they can. BevMaloon.com.
Wonderful.
It's really the getting the Maloon right that's the more of the issue.
M-I-L-U-N.
Yeah, you see, you're a genius.
I know.
In pronunciation, I've been Mulhun, Mulhun,
what did
Mulhun,
I first call
Mulhun,
you the
Mulhun.
First? The first time I met you, the first time you came into, well, when
Mulhun.
I was it Mulhun?
Which is pretty standard.
Bev Maloon.
I remember when I was graduating, the person, whoever it was that announces, was standing on the side and giving the name to the chancellor or whoever, and he kept saying to me, "Who say yeah, you're fun?" Because it was at Rand Afrikaans University.
"Who say yeah, you're fun?"
Right, how do you say your surname? And I said, "Maloon." "Maloon." No, "Maloon." 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 "Swiss Pampoon." "Maloon."
"Ah, Maloon." "Swiss Pampoon."
And the next thing he announces me, "Beverly Maloon."
I thought you were going to say Beverly Pampoon.
No, my father filmed it. My father filmed it, as every good Jewish father would do, right? He filmed my graduation.
Aww.
And so you could see me on that little graduating clip laughing my head off all the way
Maloon.
To the dean. Yeah.
Beverly
After
Maloon.
All that.
Maloon, congratulations.
Maloon, 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 Maloon. Okay. I surrender.
Okay, we've got a birth date. 14th
Go
of the 11th,
it.
1971. Start SMSing your birth dates. And better still, call us.
71.
Yes, 14th of the 11th, 1971. Better still, call us in the studio. The lines are open. We do take your phone calls before we take the SMSs. 0861 24 24 36. All right, Bev, 14/11/1971.
All right, so the 14th of November, 1971. So, sure. This is a person driven solely by inspiration. You couldn't get this person moving because you want them for longer than 10 minutes in a row, or five maybe. I'm actually seeing it's probably five. Because this person, when they are on their own pluck, their own inspiration, their own desire, etc., they will get up, get going, you won't be able to stop them. So this is somebody who, when they're excited about something, is unstoppable. So whatever it is this person's doing or passionate about or whatever, that they'll love to make it flow. They'll love to make it look good. It'll need to be presentable. Very strong opinions, very sensitive, very thoughtful, but very creative as well. Simultaneously creative and inventive and enthusiastic. So much energy when this person's inspired. So passive when they're not. So much of nothing going on when they're not inspired. So very difficult to manage this kind of person, because if they don't like you or respect you, they'll never take direction. Never. You can stand on your head, they won't take direction from you. Do you know this person, the way you're smiling? You do. I'm seeing you smiling and nodding your head. Am I accurate?
Very.
Oh,
amazing.
What do you know? So, yeah, and in the global forum, doesn't like to be boundary, doesn't want to be told where the boundaries are, where the disciplines must be, just wants to be able to do and be and go and determine themselves, and thinks outside of the box all the time. So where other people would say, "No, I don't think you can really do it that way," they go, "Oh, no, there's ways around it. Watch. I'll find a way around it. Look at this creative thing I came up with. If you do it like this and you do it like that, then it works." So this is the – and you're still nodding? We're still right?
Absolutely.
So this is the kind of person. Now, the catches are Dafka, oh my goodness, It's like bashing your head against a brick wall built in good South African fashion. You know, not like one of those walls that pretend to be walls in American-style homes that a good strong wind can blow away. This is like a real wall. You bash your head against this person, you're literally going to be bashing your head against brick. If they don't want to move, and I'm getting a he sense. Is this a he person? Yeah. So if he doesn't want to move and he's not inspired and he doesn't like what you're saying, you can literally run yourself at a brick wall. You'll probably get more movement. So this is a strong personality, an uninspired personality, dangerous. An inspired personality could change the world and certainly inspire people to join in and be a part of it, and is very charismatic when inspired. And when uninspired, can literally seem like a doormat. Are you going to do anything? No. Are you going to do more than just watch that wallpaper dry? No. Do you want to do anything? No. Gets an idea, gets up, gets going. Where's he gone? He's doing this, he's doing that. What are you doing? Look at this. This is what I've come up with. I want to do this and I want to do that. And as soon as the steam runs out, it's kind of like fizzle, 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 pop. And it's all gone until the next bout of inspiration. Part of the biggest work of this person, self-discipline, therefore, to keep consistent is part of the work. This is not a person who can be consistent easily. Very hard, in fact, because when you're driven solely by inspiration, so when I feel inspired, I'm showered, I'm groomed, my teeth are brushed, my hair's done, I'm dressed well. When I'm uninspired, did you wash today? Have you washed this week? What are you getting out of bed? Are you going to stop watching movies at some point? This will be what will happen. You're still nodding. Yeah.
Interesting.
So we're really, so now I suppose, you know, somebody said to me recently, but I'm not sure if it's fair that you know all the stuff about the people you're involved with or close to, because you have such an insider trading on the people you're involved with, and no one has that insider trading on you. So that's a perspective, but I would say that people have to realize that I don't use this to knock people down. I don't use this to understand everybody's faults and issues and problems and limitations so that I can go, you see, well, you did that because you're limited in this way. You did that because you're limited in that way. When I work with numbers, with my friendships, my colleagues, my partners, my son, when I work with this, with my parents, with whomever, it's because I can say, I understand where this person's coming from. I understand their struggles. I understand it. And it invokes a high level of compassion and a high level of patience. And where I wouldn't give someone so much leeway to throw a tantrum in front of me or have an emotional response that is completely unacceptable by anyone's standards, I can step back and say, I know this person responds in this way to intimate relationship needs unmet. I know this person responds this way to being blocked. I know this person, so because I understand that that's their work and that's where their area of need is, I can be more compassionate, patient, and understanding, be a bit more forgiving of their limitations. And so that's what I always encourage people. So this is obviously someone you know and you're close to. Otherwise, there wouldn't be so much nodding and acknowledgement. And what I'm saying to you directly and to everyone else is when you learn about the limitations of someone from a profile like this and you understand how their mechanism works, what it should invoke is not a superiority of, aha, well, that explains why he's so useless most of the time. It should invoke, and one hopes it would, I hope it would, a sensitivity, a compassion, an understanding of their struggle. Because make no mistake, a person who's driven by inspiration, who's all power and all consuming in the moment, and I say in the moment because there's only one being that's all power and all consuming consistently, right? In the moment, can often be diagnosed with things that is not appropriate or experience things that aren't necessarily a true reflection of pathology, like a bipolar condition. This person is either up, 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 or down, 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 down. And it's very hard for them to be in the middle. And I'm sure you've noticed that with him. It's very hard. This is a person who rides the vicissitudes of life like a tsunami rainstorm that goes up and down and up and down. So there's a compassion that's necessary, because imagine the struggle for somebody who's passive and is only driven by inspiration when they see the rest of the world being consistent mostly, and they see the rest of the world getting on with it, and they just can't. The immobility is just infuriating and frustrating, depleting, depressing and heavy. And many people live their lives like this. Now, I've looked at your numbers, and I know that you're also driven by inspiration in certain areas, certainly your vocation. But there are areas in your life where you are just get up and get it done. I'm in a bad mood, get up and get it done. I'm tired, get up and get it done, right? But this is not the kind of person who can do that. This is the kind of person who would be very excited about something, but if they don't wake up feeling excited that morning, they're in big trouble. They have to find the excitement. That's a huge struggle to work with. Mm. And a lot of these people go on medication to support them, and that's not a bad idea, because with that inconsistency comes a frustration and an insecurity and a lack of self-respect. And it's not appropriate either. When you understand yourself and you understand the mechanism of self that's at work here, there's a lot of self-compassion that's appropriate that can help the person to be gentle with themselves. Mm. And that's also part of living with self-esteem, is saying, you know what, I can see, all right, I'm feeling like blech, so I need to get a couple of things done. And I was doing a course the other night, and I was saying to somebody, said to me, but I'm not consistent, then I feel so bad. Like, what can I do to change that? Well, I can't change the way you feel, but I can encourage you with what you do. So you're not consistent with things, okay? So just force the consistency and watch how the good feeling comes.
Hmm.
So you don't feel like washing your face or brushing your teeth. I'm going to be dead honest on air. I often don't feel that way because I'm often sitting at 1 or 2 in the morning on my computer still, and I don't feel like it. I'm exhausted. I'm sitting at the moment by the fire, and all I want to do is get up and crawl to bed. I'm exhausted. Or I've done the big mistake of working in bed, and then it's literally shut the computer, roll over.
Mm.
But I didn't wash up first completely, right? Let's say if I'm planning to shower in the morning. So that's a problem. I have to wash my skin every night or I break out. That's my acne humility gift from above to keep me, you know, moving forward and taking care of my face. And so the bottom line is I have to make a choice. I'm either going to go to sleep and I'm going to wake up. I know breakout's coming. I don't feel good about myself. I did not self-preserve. I did not self-honor. I did not self-respect. And that is going to affect the way I feel. There's no question. Or exhausted beyond belief with zero inclination and no desire. I can drag myself to the bathroom, wash that face, brush those teeth, and crawl back to bed, and I feel better. My self-respect up, my self-preservation up, my self-honoring up.
Hmm.
So it doesn't always have to be that you get inspiration and you act.
Mm.
And a lot of these life coach gurus out there are saying, you must follow your inspiration. If you don't have passion, you'll never succeed. Rubbish. I know many people who have succeeded who are miserable as can be, but they're getting it done.
Mm.
So you don't have to have inspiration to succeed. What you have to have is mobility. Move. Get moving. And then you can direct passion. You can't direct passion from an armchair. So if you're doing something or you're not doing something, put the consistency into it. Drag yourself across those coals. And as your self-esteem goes up because you're productive, and as you see that things are happening because you're doing and you're moving, so will your ability to direct passion be empowered. But it won't happen without that. It won't happen. So with this person, that's what I would say. When you find yourself in the lowest possible space, and if you're taking notes to tell him, this is it. When you find yourself in the lowest possible space, the correct approach is not self-reproach. It is not self-indignation. It is not to do anything with the self, but be as gentle as you would be if you were given self to take care of for a month, mm-hmm. and had to return it to the world better for having had the experience of your care, or the same. Not worse.
Mm.
So be gentle,
mm.
be encouraging, go have a bath or shower, have a cup of tea or coffee or whatever you like. Clean yourself up, dress in new clothes, brush the hair that might be unkempt, and then just do.
Do.
It
Mobilize.
Doesn't matter what it does.
Mm.
Just do. Make an egg. Make porridge. Wash the plate. Do. You'll be amazed. I have mentored people who've waited for jobs for months and months and months, and they pot around the house and pot around the house and pot around the house until they're going insane, praying and weeping and crying. And they say, you know, I go for interview after interview and nothing's happening. You know why? It is hard to steer a parked car. You've heard that before. It is hard to direct a seated passion. You need to be doing for people to say, this is someone on the move. This is someone who's productive. This is someone I can direct. This is someone whose energy I can channel. But when you're sitting there just weakened, disempowered, praying, hoping, and doing nothing, so people say, okay, well, Bea, that doesn't make sense. What must I do? I can't get a job. Okay, volunteer. Volunteer. Go out there, clean the streets. You'll be amazed. Go clean your garden. Go clean up your entire apartment. Find institutions that need volunteering. Go volunteer. Go to an old age home. Speak to some people. believe me, there's stuff you can do. And if you sit in an interview and you say, well, I haven't been able to secure a job position yet, but I've been going to the old age home and speaking there and helping people be washed. I've volunteered on this program. I've been writing stuff. I've been updating this. I've been looking at this. I clean and reclean my house because I want to put my energy somewhere. Versus the person who says, I've been in this other job for 5 years and I'm bored. I hate it. I can't get my work done. I'm uninspired and I'm just looking for the right opportunity. I'll take the guy who's been cleaning his house and volunteering in an old age home who's looking for a place to put his energy and direction and passion. He's looking for a way for his mobility to move than the person who is just sitting in a job he can't bear, not delivering, not getting finished, not doing anything. What's he going to do in my job when he gets bored?
Let's take a break. After the break, the 4th of May, 1975.
101.9 FM, 101.9 megahertz of power.
9 minutes to 10 o'clock in Your Element with Nikki Seberini and our self-esteem engineer Bev Malun. So we are taking your calls on 0861 24 24 36 or you can SMS Bev on 34519. So Bev, the 4th of May, 1975. 4 May, 1975.
Okay, I've got this. And this is exactly what we were talking about. You know how we always get a theme?
Yes.
Okay, so this is a theme. There's no question. This is a theme person. And this person, without question, is just like an unguided missile at any given point. Parked, it is potential unlimited. Directed, it's like just run behind, run behind, run behind. But driven solely and utterly by that which this person feels is inspiring and is moving. And the hardest work is that the biggest paradox here that I'm seeing is this concrete inflexibility about where to go and where to put themselves. And so that's a very hard thing to have. I wouldn't want to be in that position. I have huge passions and huge desires, and it's not for me like owning my optometry business is limiting in any way, that I feel like, oh, I'm just selling out here because I'm not talking and writing and doing talks and workshops all the time. That's not it at all. This is an absolute passion for me. Taking care of my family is an absolute passion for me, and optometry I love. It's not an opportunity I've had in life that I have not loved. And for that, I thank my mommy completely. I wanted to be in drama and education, and that's where I wanted to be. And my mother said, absolutely not. Forget about it. You go do a profession where you can say, this is what I do, pay me. And then do whatever you like around that. And, you know, she's been right the whole way through, because I chose optometry after a lot of scrutiny. But I was looking for a place I could put myself that may or may not be as inspiring as talking, educating, sharing, change facilitating, etc. But I would be willing to get it done with a full heart and spirit for my whole working career and do everything else with it. And I feel like, you know, either way, you get your vision for your life improved. So it's not exactly like there's a dichotomy in my existence.
I love it, yes.
But do you understand what I'm trying to say with this? Is that sometimes the things we do will be completely all-consuming, inspiring. And sometimes you will love them and you'll be good at them and you'll become better at them. And there'll be moments of utter sheer joy and fulfillment, like I do have a lot of the time in my optometry business. And then there's times of tedium and frustration and VAT returns, Lord, that's something, and tax and etc. But I never feel that talking, workshops, facilitating, mentoring, etc. I never feel that writing my books, writing stuff, never. Right? So there's definitely a total all fulfillment in the one side and a mostly fulfillment in the other. But if you had to take this all away, the talking, facilitating, this role I play in the world, I would live more than full enough life. I would. I wouldn't have access to the full power of me living inspired. I wouldn't. But I would be more than full enough. And so what I'm trying to say to people is that there's too much waiting around for the truest inspiration happening today. There's too much waiting around to get moving when I feel good, when it feels good. Not everything feels good. Even in the human functioning body, not everything feels necessary and good.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of a freezing cold winter, in South Africa, without our double glazed windows, where most of our population isn't even living with brick walls, it is not so comfortable to get naked and get clean.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not kid. Where the majority of people in this country do not have the luxury of a centrally heated home. Agreed?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It is a process of human self-respect, self-dignity, self-refinement, self-preservation. It is all part of the big umbrella we call self-esteem, that we do it anyway. It's not comfortable. It doesn't inspire us. But that feeling afterwards, that clean skin feeling and clothing that is clean, that feeling of I took care of myself, I am honoring this meat suit that I'm in. I'm honoring it and taking care of it and making it as clean and good looking as possible. That's why we do it. The process is seldom the point. This is what I want to communicate mm-hmm. more than anything. And sadly, this will not ever be on my website unless I just redo it at home because I've just run out of time.
Oh,
did a course the other night and I forgot to move everything off.
No.
But I will redo this because I get the essence of it. I'll make some notes. I'll make it and I'll put it up there, okay? The essence of this is there will not always be inspiration. It's okay. The process is not the point. The point is the process. You get
Hang on.
The process
is not the point. The point is the process. Okay.
Right. Okay. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. I'm going to help.
Okay.
The process is not the point. What you have to do to achieve your goals, to get to your destination, not the point. You can make that as joyful or as unjoyful as you prefer. The point is the process. You have to get the goal right. You have to get the vision right. You have to get all the things that have to be achieved through this process right. And then it doesn't matter the process. You'll do it anyway. Does anybody really want to study for 4 years to become an optometrist? I mean, some have done three, whatever. I did an honors degree. So does anyone really want to go there and study before? No, I did not want to study. I can tell you for free. I did not want to study. I wanted to be qualified as an optometrist so I could get on with the rest of my life. That's why I wanted to do it. Does anyone really want to go through the journey and the hardship of writing a book? I don't know. Some of it's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. But I must tell you, with my first book, I wrote it and we did 24 repros of it before it was printed. I read it so many times, I started to think this is not that good. Because I got so afay with the text that I thought, I'm just looking for spelling and grammatical and resetting things, because every time you edit, you have to go through the entire book. You know, that's why they say 1 in 10,000 people who write a book ever actually publish it. It's a huge achievement, and I'm very proud of it.
Mm.
And it's certainly my intention to do it numerous times throughout my life, hopefully. But the bottom line is, oh my goodness, is it a process? It's a process. But the feedback I get from people who read the book and the value of it, that's the point. Sharing what I've learned so that other people can benefit and I don't go through my life keeping it to myself, that's the point. So to go into this for this person.
For the 4th of May, yes.
Right. Will you always enjoy what you do? No. But some things just have to be done. And you can either dig your heels in and be Dafka like you are so good at and do nothing and be the victim because life's so hard and I always have to do what I don't want to do and all this frustration and pain. Or you can get up and get it done. Why? Because you do want to feed your family. Why? Because you do want to have choice and you do want to own things. And you won't always be living inspired. And I'm sorry about that. And do I encourage people to pursue their passions? Absolutely. Not if it compromises taking care of yourself and your family. I'm not one of those coaching gurus who says, drop it, follow your passion. If you don't follow your passion, you'll never be free. Nonsense. Freedom is a choice. Viktor Frankl was free. He was never incarcerated. That man was in a concentration camp for most of the war. Freedom is a choice. It is a choice in the mind. We are not free or enslaved by the people around us. That is a choice in the mind. And we have to decide how we control that unbelievable vehicle that will move us through the world when we have the opportunity to do so. And that's our mind. We choose. You're on it. You choose. And so sometimes you'll be totally inspired and be doing things that are only dripping with inspiration. And sometimes you'll just have to do what has to get done. But the point is the process. Get the point right. And then the process is just what it is.
Someone has sent her an SMS. Hi, Bev and Nikki. That is so brilliant and absolutely my belief, and it really does work. Otherwise, you slowly die.
That's right.
Thank
you
for that.
Get busy living or get busy dying. But every day, that's a choice.
Wonderful. Okay, so the 8th of the 8th, 1961. 8th of the 8th, 1961, a female. And this person says, generally, what is going to be?
You'd have to find the Oracle workshop for that. What do I know? I don't know anything about that.
But maybe this person's at a point where, I don't know, stagnant, I don't know.
Okay, so if nothing else, this person struggles to get herself moving, but she's so capable of moving. It's unbelievable. She is such a mover and such a helper and so much wants to help and change the world and make things right and extend a hand, etc. Deep sensitivities, strong opinions, huge philosophies, very beautiful hidden talents for music and for either talents or appreciation for music and beauty and art and aesthetics and etc., right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a person who's got a lot of it's not armor that I'm coming to. It's not heavy. There's a weight. There's a huge amount of power and potential, but there's this anchor
mm-hmm.
holding back power and potential. Okay, mm-hmm. So the hidden energy with this person is very heavy, but the actual capacity that people might experience is this helpful, generous, compassionate person who wants to be out there and doing and etc., who battles insecurity. And so it doesn't surprise me that this lady has messaged in and said, what's going to be? I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take this as an opportunity to do one of our classic diversions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say, honestly, you should not want to know. You should not want to know what's going to happen because it disempowers you. There is no empowerment in it. If I had my way, psychics would only be used to find hidden children, missing children, and the bodies of people who have been demised, who we adore and we want to be able to bury and honor. That's what they'd be used for. That's what a real psychic should be used for. What's going to happen tomorrow? Is there going to be a problem with this? Is there going to be a challenge in my business? Will I lose money? Will I win money? How will I get through this health challenge? Every one of those questions that people are running off to these oracles. The oracles get sick. Yes. How come they didn't see that coming? Do these psychics win the lottery? No. Oh, they can't use it for that. I see. Is it possible that they have the power to see into the future? Is it possible that they have the power to see on that parallel plane? Absolutely. Absolutely they do. Can they tell you what will happen in your future? Some very accurately. Very accurately. Should you be going for that? No. And from a self-esteem perspective, no. Why? Because if I know what's going to happen, I will live up and down to that potential. Doesn't matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And most times, if it's, well, you're going to get a promotion, I will sit back. Promotion's coming, I'll wait for it. There is a clinical mechanism that says, great, don't have to work so hard anymore. But you're only getting it because you were working so hard. It was as a part of the tangent that you are currently on. So the bottom line is, we need to live in the world with self-esteem. We need to live in the world in a way that we are prepared to handle the challenges that come our way. Why? Because we know from every Bible source available, no matter what the denomination, it says quite clearly, and in the ethos of the world, and even the spiritualists who believe in no religion, and that's fantastic, they will all say to you, we only get the challenges we can master or manage. We only get the challenges we can handle. So every ethos out there saying the same thing. Therefore, how you are now, the challenges coming, you'll be able to manage. You work on yourself, you refine yourself, you improve yourself. Guess what? The challenges coming your way, you'll be able to manage. That's right. Yeah. But that's how you work on yourself. You didn't come here to have an easy ride. You came here to refine the spirit of your being.
Couldn't they have told me
before I came? They did. You just forgot. You weren't paying attention. You just forgot. The bottom line is, while we're here and while we're working, it's about self-refinement, self-improvement. It is about understanding how we can be better in our communication with each other on a daily basis. It's about fixing the problems we create. It's about resolving the emotional crises and relationship crises we create with error. But we're human and it happens. It is about moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. That's what it's about. And when you want to know what's going to happen, you disempower that aspect of you that should be preparing anyway. Prepare anyway, because anything can happen. So whatever's going to happen will be what you can deal with. That's the good news. The other good news, keep refining yourself so you can deal with those things. And sometimes there are ethos that support us. Sometimes when you do the work, you don't have to have the obstacle. So I'll give you an example. How do we see that in the practical world? So we go to boot camp, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we take these young soldiers and we take them to boot camp. Now, we need to know that at the end of boot camp, they can do this, 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 and this, right? But if they can already do that, let's not waste time on that. So we'll say to the guys, okay, who can crawl under wire mesh for 2 kilometers without injury? I've done that. Great. So you don't have to do that exercise. You know how. Good. There's more important things to do. Who can do this? Who can do that? Who can hold their breath underwater for 4.5 minutes? Who can do this? You know, they would be, you know, it's possible, but it's a hang of a lot of training on the lungs. Who can do this? Who can do this? Right. And so boom, 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 we go through. Okay, so these 10 guys out of the 50 need to do this training. These 20 need to do that. We don't all need to do everything. Mm-hmm. But the more you train, the less you have to do and the more prepared you are for the things that will come. Mm-hmm. So you be in a process on that little wheel that keeps you moving forward and refining and working on yourself. And maybe you don't have to learn a lesson in patience by not being able to walk for 6 months. Maybe you don't, because believe me, I'm talking from historical evidence in my life. I know how difficult a spirit I was when I landed on planet Earth this time. I know how violent my temper was and will still always remain to be. And I always say to people, don't get disheartened because you have a violent temper. The trick is not to never lose it again. The trick is to catch it before you lose it completely. Mm-hmm. It'll get out the box, catch it. Mm-hmm. That's all. Be in a process of moving forward and understanding who you are and being willing to work with what you've been given. And that's your role. That's what you have to do. Not worry about what's going to happen in the future. The future will come. Don't worry. It'll catch up to you.
Mm-hmm. The 8th of the 8th, 1961. Thanks for that, Bev. Let's take a break and then we're going to do one more, Bev. It's the 27th of November, 1948, a female. And it says here, relationship with daughters.
I need the daughter's birthdays.
Okay. Gail, you've just given us the age of your daughters. We need your daughter's birthdays. We're going to take a break and play a song. So quickly SMS us. Otherwise, we're just going to have to do you. 27 November 1948.
101.9 High FM. 101.9 megahertz of life.
8 minutes past 10 o'clock. Self-esteem engineer Bev Malun is in the studio. Okay, so Gail SMS'd her daughter's birthday. So thank you very much, Gail. The one, the 30th of December, 1972, and the other, the 31st of October, 1969. And Gail is the 27th of November, 1948. And while you're busy reading that out, sorting out the numbers, Bev, I just want to read out an SMS. The person from the 4th of May, 1975, responded and said, thanks, Bev. Appreciate it. You are amazing. And while I know that you don't need the affirmation, Bev, it's always lovely to know when people are appreciative of what you've done.
You're wrong.
I'm all right, you got it, baby.
I'm a words of affirmation bunny. That's me. I'm a word of affirmation bunny.
Okay, there you have it.
Knowing who you are and what you're about is one of the most empowering things in the world. I'm not a gift bunny. Don't bring me gifts. I'm not inspired. I don't need them. Don't want them.
But
they don't
words.
Really move me. Will I appreciate it if you give it to me? Oh, absolutely. I will be so grateful you made the effort and et cetera. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm a words of affirmation bunny. You know, people have to figure out who they are. You need quality time, physical touch? Do you need words of affirmation? Do you like gifts?
You're the words of affirmation.
Acts of service. What do you like? I'm a words of affirmation bunny. If you talk bad to me, I'm not your friend. That's it.
I'm not your friend.
Don't talk bad to me.
Don't be nasty. Okay, no. So Gail, let's have a look at Gail and the relationship with her daughters.
I want to add an addendum to that, Nikki, before I go into this, because I'm stuck on the maths of 4 and 1 and 7.
4 and 1 is 5 and 7 is 12.
That's a 3. Great, thanks. The addendum to that is that to live in life needing the affirmation or not being able to move forward or becoming immobile because you do something and don't get acknowledged for it or don't get the affirmation is a very unhealthy way to live. Living with self-esteem means, oh, I love affirmation. You like what I said? Great. Believe me when I tell you I'm a channel for it, and some of it comes from me because it's been left with me and I still remember it, and most of it is I'm really just in service here. Really just sharing what I'm being privileged to be told to say. So let's make that very clear. Okay. So you acknowledge it. Yay, that's nice. Thank you. You acknowledge what I did. Great. But you don't. I'm still whole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still full. I'm still whole. I'm still fine.
Mm-hmm.
The acknowledgement is nice.
Okay.
But it's not what keeps me moving. And that's how I wish people would live.
Okay.
They don't hanker after to move.
Okay.
Now when we look at Gail and her daughters, we're looking at it's a potential war zone is the truth if it's not managed properly. But, Gail, I'm going to tell you this right off the bat. There's too much to say in the next 2 minutes. So right off the bat, if your family is willing to do the kind of mediation work to understand each other and work together and resolve crises and heartaches and et cetera, then that's what I recommend is a mediation session that everyone commits to for an hour and a half or 2 hours.
I think they need it.
There's no question. But that's up to them. That's up to them. But there is nothing I can say on one foot in the next 2 minutes that is really going to change anything. It is not only Gail that's the issue. And it's not only her daughters that are the issue. And there's a lot of dynamics at play here that create controversy, that are creating the problems that are feeding through this relationship. And they work their relationship as this threesome, these two daughters and her. It's karmic. There's a karmic correction necessary here. So obviously it's going to be hard. The people always think, oh, we have karma, we've been in the same soul group, and how nice, and we all recognize each other, and that's lovely, and so everything must be fine. No, you come down with your soul group with different personalities to work on refinement. Some of the hardest relationships in the world are relationships that you've had before.
But I mean, a daughter of 39, a daughter of 42, these issues have been around for a long time, obviously, Bev. Do you know what I'm saying?
Jeez, your math is fantastic.
Well, no, because believe me, my maths isn't. But Gail was kind enough to say 39 and 42. Now I would have sat here with my...
And I was born in 1972, and I'm thinking, no, she's 40, and then I see December. You know, so I thought, jeez, you're a genius. But you are a genius, Nikki, and an oracle.
Of course.
Now, you must know that's true. So the truth is, Gail, of course there's work that can be done, and I could throw out a few things that might help you. Be more patient, be less expectant, be more generous of spirit. You're such a nurturer. You're so caring. You're so compassionate. But you also have the tendency towards being unrealistically demanding and inflexible. And let's bear that in mind. That also is not easy for two girls to grow up with. A mommy who is childlike, enthusiastic, fun, creative, and does special stuff with them, but is also in many ways inflexible, demanding, unrealistically expectant, and critical. So one has to see it through a mirror, and one has to see it from both places. You know, one has to look at it from both places. How much of this is me? How much of this is my kids? And how much of it is the threesome, the nature of the threesome that needs the work that we can do? And I'm just looking very quickly at the threesome relationship. And as a threesome, you know, we have this intensely sensitive relationship with a tendency to emotional drama and emotional manipulation. But the underlying nurturing of the three when they're in a good space is so potentially beautiful. And that's what needs to be driven for. That's what needs to be aspired to. But the threesome, as a threesome, it's a very difficult relationship. It's difficult. It's difficult. Okay. It has to avoid criticism. And I'm certain these three women, all with their own very critical, sharp eyes and bright minds, have the capacity to rip each other to shreds. But their work is to not criticize each other. So it's a paradox even as it sits in front of me. It's a paradox waiting for disaster if they don't manage that. If they had to just sit and assess every time they want to comment or criticize on each other, they don't say it. They'd probably say, well, you know, then we won't say anything to each other. Okay, initially, but you'll get past it. But that's where the issues are. And there's a lot of resentment built up here, and there's a lot of hidden hurts and et cetera that have not been resolved. And so to start with, one has to have a clear heart for resolution on the table and sit with three women who are not going to be easy to manage, who really are strong powers all in their own right. But if there's mediation on the table, we want to come right, we want to resolve this, we want to, then working with a facilitator to do that could really be a huge way forward.
Fantastic. So Gail, there we have it. So you can always contact Bev directly or go via her website, www.bevmilun, and that's bevmilun.co. no, is it .org?
.com.
Sorry, Bev. .com. I think, Gail, that you sent those birthdays through today. It's obviously you're concerned about it, and perhaps you'll be taking it to the next level, which I think would be fantastic. Ms. Milun, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So wonderful.
Much.
Gee whiz, so
such
much.
A privilege.
So much
thank
writing
you.
Down, so much learning, so much to ponder over and really get those thoughts and ideas sinking into the brain and into the heart. Thanks, Bev.
Thank you.
Next week, looking forward.
Great.